This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Important anniversaries are being marked this week. The National Urban League is marking 100 years of work as one of the country's leading civil rights organizations. We hope to talk about that with the group's current president and CEO, Mark Morial. And we will talk about the 20th anniversary of the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act with one of the architects of the legislation, Lex Fridin. That is later. But first, we want to talk more about the saga of Shirley Sherrod, that Agriculture Department employee who was forced to resign last week after she was falsely portrayed by a conservative blogger of harboring anti-white sentiments. And while officials and pundits across the spectrum have weighed in about how someone could so quickly and unfairly be maligned, and it's worth noting that key administration officials have apologized for that, we wanted to get perspective from someone who also feels he was a victim of the machinations of the blogosphere, Van Jones. Van Jones was the White House special advisor for green jobs for only 6 months before resigning over strong words he'd once used about Republicans in a videotaped speech, a speech he also gave years before he worked for the administration. The video later went viral. He was also accused falsely, he says, of signing a petition that suggested the Bush administration deliberately allowed 9/11 to happen as a pretext for war. Van Jones penned a piece for the New York Times this week entitled Shirley Sherrod and Me, and he's with us now from his office. Welcome. Thank you for joining us once again.
I'm glad to be here.
We need to offer listeners some background on your situation, and I apologize if this is painful for you to hear this recounted yet again. But you resigned in September 2009 after being labeled a truther because your name appeared on a petition that suggested that the Bush administration may have, quote, deliberately allowed 9/11 to happen. Now, you say now that this group never had your permission to use your name in this way, and that you say they've subsequently acknowledged that because they initially said that they had.
Well, yeah, this group came up to me at a conference apparently and said they were supporting 9/11 families and would I support them. I said, sure. Then they typed my name on a website that had this atrocious, horrible language, which of course I never saw. No reporter that reported the story ever said, could we see Van Jones' signature? Since they didn't have it, that would have the story would have never been reported. But I think that more importantly,
they had the verbal confirmation of some individuals that they had the personal that they had contacted each of the people on the list, which includes people like actor Ed Asner and Jane Ann Garofalo and people like that.
Well, sure, but myself and Paul Hawken, the famous environmental author, and Jody Evans and others said that they had no idea how their names got on there and demanded that it be taken off. But you know, I think again, for me, the more important point is that, there's a big difference between me and Shirley Sherrod, of course. I mean, Shirley Sherrod is like Rosa Parks. I mean, I actually am an activist with a very colorful background. There's plenty of stuff for the right wing to get upset about with me. With her, here you have literally Rosa Parks. I mean, somebody who is doing her best with having had her father murdered by a Klansman, apparently, to bring racial healing. And even she gets slimed. And I think that what we're dealing with now is a world where information viruses can be created and pumped into the body politic. And we are not equipped yet as a society to deal with that. The information system is very well advanced now. Data can go anywhere at any time. But the wisdom system to sort through all that stuff, to ask the right question, to make sure that before we unleash these kinds of media firestorms, the right checks have been done, that's what's missing now. And so I think that these kinds of attacks are not just attacks on individuals. There are attacks on democracy itself. The democracy works when you have a well-informed citizenry. When you begin to develop factions in your country that literally have as a part of their mission to create deliberately misinformed sections of the public, that's not just an attack on an individual. That's an attack on the democratic process itself. And we've got to respond, I think, a lot more aggressively and be a lot more concerned.
Let me just clarify one point. I said that the reason you resigned was related to this so-called truther petition, but the actual stated reason was a speech you gave while you were in office where you
– No.
No, right? No, it was before you were in office, but it was during the campaign, right?
I was never criticized for anything I did or said when I was in office. Which is I think very interesting. The entire time I was a part of the administration, my fiercest critics never had a concern about that. There was a speech that I made where I made an unfortunate reference and apologized for it to the Republican Party. And then there's a lot of other stuff that was just either fabricated out of whole cloth or distorted.
Let me just clarifying. There was a lecture you gave before you took office in which you used a vulgarity to refer to Republicans. I'll just play it so that people know what we're talking about, so they do have the facts at their disposal. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. I know that he has this strong interest in bipartisanship, but when the Republicans are voting with him, how were the Republicans able to push things through when they had less than 60 senators, but somehow we can't?
Uh-huh. Well, the answer to that is they're assholes.
Now, you say you, in fact, chose to resign as opposed to being forced to resign, as Shirley Sherrod was. Why?
Well, because, once you are in this sort of media firestorm moment, you have a decision to make. I didn't go to Washington, D.C. to fight for myself. I went to fight for other people. The President of the United States was about 3 days away from making a big speech on health care, trying to reset the national conversation on health care. And for the first time, you had a U.S. president who was trying to get doctors to babies. And the question is, am I going to be the banana peel that he slips on, where he's no longer able to have the conversation he wants to have? I did not want the President of the United States to try to defend my colorful past, including silly things I said long before I was in office or even thought I would ever be in office. I want him to be able to talk about America's future. And so I have no regrets about resigning, because I think it did make sure that he was able to have that conversation. But I think what is regrettable is that we are now in a situation where a mid-level White House staffer whose job it was to work on green jobs for poor people can have the experience of mistakes from his past become the subject of national discourse, including things that are just not true. And the way that dynamic works, it becomes very, very hard to get the conversation either back to the truth or back on the subject at hand. Now that is not to say that I didn't do things that I regret and have apologized for. I think the bigger question for the American people as we go forward is, how do we deal with this reality now, where all of us are imperfect? People are going to say silly things and do silly things. There's going to be photographs from Facebook, from people when you're in college, and all this data is going to be out there showing us in all of our flaws and imperfections. And yet, how do we hold all of that? We've got the information. Now, how do we get the wisdom to say no person on the right or the left can be defined by a single moment in time? Glenn Beck, for instance, who is somebody who a lot of people on the left are concerned about, did something great last week. He refused to go along with this whole Shirley Sherrod thing. You would expect progressives to then stand up and cheer for him, but you've seen silence from progressives, even though he did the right thing in this instance, because things have gotten so partisan and so polarized that we can't even see the good in each other when the good is there. That's my concern.
There's been a lot of talk this week about the teachable moment, and there have been a number of people weighing in with what lesson they feel should be learned. Some people say, that the White House needs to learn a lesson to not be so reflexively defensive about racial matters. Other people say that it's the media that needs to learn a lesson about not being so vulnerable to agitation by partisans and activists. You also say in your piece that the big breakthrough will come not when we are better able to spot the lies. It will come when we are better able to handle the truth about people. Who's the we in that sentence? Who is it that you think needs to learn a lesson, and what lesson do you think needs to be learned?
Well, I think all of us need to learn a lesson, and I'll tell you why. Every one of us has a laptop or a computer where, when some salacious rumor comes across, either as an email or you see something on a website, we can choose to forward that on or not. We can choose to rush to judgment and become a part of the digital mob or not. And so I think it starts with each individual all the way up to the people at the top of the government and the top of the media system. But I think that what I am hoping comes, again, I understand how people say, how could these different organizations make these mistakes? We are in a situation now where the media system moves so fast that, as I said in my piece, it's like a combination of speed chess and Mortal Kombat. You have to make a million decisions in a short period of time, but any one of them can get you killed. And so people are learning to adapt to this speeded up or sped up media environment. What can get lost, though, number one, is the need to make wise decisions, and number two is a level of concern about people who are deliberately trying to game the system.
Okay.
And that is really where the danger is, I think, for America, not for individuals. I had a job before I went to the White House. I have a job now. The danger is for the American system as a whole when we are no longer are able to count on the fact that we will have a well-informed citizenry.
Van Jones is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a visiting fellow at Princeton. In 2009, he was the White House Special Advisor for Environmental Jobs. If you want to read the piece that he wrote that we're talking about, we'll have a link on our website at npr.org and at the Tell Me More page. Van Jones, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.